All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Amen. Please be seated. I was reminded of those words from Julian of Norwich when I read the gospel. Now, Julian was a Christian mystic and a theologian. She wrote a book called Revelations of Divine Love after falling sick in 1373 when she was 30 years old. And she had some incredible visions about the Passion of Christ and about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I knew I got that wrong. Her words, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, have been one of the cornerstones of my faith. Because what it does is it speaks to my trust in God. It speaks to my belief in God. Because I got to tell you, when you are in the middle of life that is hectic, a hectic and unpredictable thing, the thing we wake up to every morning, it takes a lot to say in the face of anxiety and adversity and the hard work it takes just to get along, that all shall be well. It's a tough thing to do that every day. I know that, like most of you, I don't have that hard of a life. I mean, it's not like I have to walk for miles to get water. I'm not thinking that I'm not sure if there'll be shelter over my head when I sleep. But still, some days, my life journey has me feeling sort of like I am careening toward hell in a handbasket, and that does not feel at all well. Julian was trying to convey a message extrapolated from a vision. How do you explain the unexplainable? How do you comprehend the incomprehensible? You don't. You don't. We have limitations, and the best that we can do is to describe things beyond our comprehension in terms of things that we know. Now, Julian had a vision, and I imagine racked with fever, this vision had to go on for a long time. I think it was like seeing a private movie, okay, with only one person there in the audience, and then trying to describe what you saw. Okay, I don't think there are possibly enough words. But in the end, I think the best way to capture something that is really complex is in the simplest of terms. All shall be well. How God reveals God's self to us is also really difficult to describe. God is comprehensible to our tiny little brains, and yet, as part of God's creation, we need to somehow understand God and be in relationship with our Creator. We need to put God into terms that we can relate to. Today in the first lesson, I saw kind of a familiar pattern. Jeremiah speaks of being blessed through our trust in the Lord. And I think in this reading, we are the tree. God, the creator and source of all life, I think God is the water. And I think that Jesus is the root system that connects the tree to the water. I told you to pay attention. The Holy Spirit, I think the Holy Spirit in Jeremiah is revealed through the fruits that are borne by the tree and the gifts. And Jeremiah said, I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings, of our doings. It sounds to me that if we're going to be in relationship with God, how many times have you heard me say this? What we do matters. To me, the message here is that we need to plant ourselves near the source of all life. We need to put down roots that connect us to God, to the source of life, and to each other. You know, interestingly enough, as I was researching all of this, you know, looking up things for this sermon, I remembered something that I saw a while ago. The largest living organism on the planet is a tree. It's a tree that's connected by the roots. It's the Pando tree in Fish Lake National Forest in southern central Utah. They say its root system is over 80,000 years old. The tree is connected by its roots in the same way that I think that we are connected to each other through Jesus, and we are connected to the source of all life through Jesus. Jeremiah also warns about those of us who trust in mortals and make their flesh their strength. They shall be cursed like a desert shrub, not knowing when the water comes flowing, not knowing and ending up parched in the wilderness. The question for us is, are we going to choose God's way, the way of life, or will you choose to go your own way? And that promises death. The gospel today is also a familiar one. The gospel is Luke. It's Luke's version of the sermon of the Beatitudes. It's not Matthew's. Okay, in Matthew's, the sermon is given on a mount, and there are nine blesseds. But in Luke this morning, Jesus was on a level place, and there were four blesseds, and there were four woes or warnings. So unpacking this a little bit, I read a commentary by Robert Allen, who's a professor at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, and what he explained was that a level place refers to a place of corpses and disgrace, idolatry, suffering, misery, hunger, annihilation, and mourning. Now, the prophets foresaw God renewing level places. So when Jesus stood in a broken and level place, he was renewing the world. He was giving hope. He was revealing the realm of God, a realm where we're connected to the source of all life through Jesus. And the fruit that we bear through the actions that we take in our doings, that's what blesses us. And what we do blesses others. We bless each other in our actions. Do we have level places in our world today? Do you think we have level places? I think all we need to do is read the news, listen to the news. Because I'll tell you what, disgrace, idolatry, suffering, misery, hunger, annihilation, and mourning are most certainly part of our world. Our world is very similar to the world in the time of Jesus. Now here comes my favorite question. Now what do we do? How do we bear fruit in our time? How do we manifest the values and practices of the realm in the midst of all of the level places around us? To answer that for myself, I went and I looked at the woes. I decided to look at the woes in this section of the gospel. Woe to me if I'm rich and keep it to myself. I have my reward in the here and now. Woe to me if I have food security and then I let my neighbors go hungry. Woe to me if I'm all about having a really good time and don't have any empathy or compassion on those who suffer. Woe to me if my haughty image of being right and proper and held in high esteem is more important than being seen with the poor and the tax collectors and the sinners and the orphans and the immigrants. Now, just prior to this passage in Luke, Jesus was criticized for breaking the rules of Sabbath. But he pointed out that the spirit of the law of the Sabbath had been lost. After that, he calls the 12, and then he gives this sermon on the level ground. The people had gathered to be healed, and Jesus healed them. The people needed to hear and have hope, and Jesus gave them hope. And Jesus was telling all the people that we are connected and that what we do matters. Essentially, we need to love God and we need to love our neighbors. Jesus warned them, just as we heard Jeremiah warn the people of his day, "Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord." And Jesus, in these words, tells them, "But woe to you who are rich and have received your consolation." Was this maybe his first stewardship sermon? Maybe. There's one thing I admire about Jewish law, it's this. When it's followed, it calls the people to have a vested interest in the welfare of their neighbors. Helping every person in the community thrive brings up the whole community. Everyone benefits when those who enjoy much success and good fortune help those in need, help those others in their community to succeed, help them to thrive as well. We're blessed when we focus on the realm of God and not on earthly things. We're blessed when we plant ourselves near the source of all life and that we connect ourselves to that source by rooting ourselves in the teachings of Jesus. We're blessed when what we do in this world is inspired by the Holy Spirit and bears fruit that blesses others. So put your trust in God. Understand that what you do matters. Support the people in your community so that we can all thrive. Support this parish community, because together we do feed the hungry, and we do shelter the homeless, and we do care for the orphans. Do all these good things that show our love for God and our neighbors. These are the two greatest commandments. And I think if we get those two greatest commandments right, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Amen.